Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Hello and good evening. Welcome to this edition of Your Half Hour Inspirational Program, a component of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 30 minutes. Thank you so very much for tuning in this evening. We've got a great show planned for you tonight, and I'm so excited about that, and I trust that you are as well. Tonight, I want to begin our programming by telling you that we have the Tuesday night show as well as this show. The Tuesday night show deals with relationships. Anything on areas of relationships, that's what our focus is. So if you are interested in improving your relationships, having discussions on things, please join us on Tuesday night's broadcast. And I will be more than happy to share things with you. If you have a question, you can certainly send us a comment of some sort, and we will address that over the air and keep your name anonymous. You're listening live to your half-hour inspirational program, a component of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. And again, I'm your host. I'm going to be with you for the next 30 minutes. Now, tonight, we're going to talk about the life you live. This is part one. The life you live. We're going to invite God to join us on tonight's program, Father. We invite you into our studio, and we pray that you would give us a word that the people can feed off of and be blessed. These and other blessings, we thank you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, once again, tonight we're talking about the life you live. You know, many of us live our lives a certain way. And oftentimes as adults, we really don't want anybody telling us how to live our lives. We feel that you start getting into judgmental components. You start getting into things where perhaps we know that no one is perfect, but then you start thinking that if you're going to listen to someone else, then you feel that what makes them have it right. But, you know, I think that one of the things that happens is we go through various experiences. We all have various experiences. And within those experiences, we have situations that we face. And sometimes people, or oftentimes I should say, may have gone through something that certainly is something that you would hope that you don't have to go through. And so it's just like a parent. That parent is trying to tell you that, listen, I've been there where you are. I understand certain situations that you don't have a clue of. And so if you listen to me, if you take the time to listen to me, then that parent, what they're saying is, I can help you to avoid the pitfall. Why am I so confident, the parent might say, knowing that I can help you avoid the pitfall? Because I fell into the pitfall by not listening to my parents, they can say. Now, I'm going to let you digest that for the next 10 to 12 seconds of silence. Okay, and we're back. So now, here once again, and I'm going to do that maybe another couple of times, one or two more times, to give you an opportunity to digest something. Once again, I want you to think about this. The parent says to the child, and maybe even a teenager, and says, you need to follow my instructions. If you follow these instructions, you will avoid certain pitfalls. And the reason why I can tell you that you will avoid these pitfalls is because I, as a parent, fell into them at your age, or maybe a little younger, or even maybe a little older. And so you're saying, because I love you so much, I want to make sure that you don't go through this. And see, there's somebody that even knows our lives better than our parents, because it's the Creator. He created us. He didn't have to experience it for himself. He created us. He knows more about human science. He knows more about human behavior. He knows more about conditioning. He knows more about problems. He knows more about challenges. He created the universe. He knows the atoms, the molecules, the cells, the membrane, all of this stuff. He knows the DNA inside out. And so you can't get around it. You can't confuse him. You can't manipulate him. You can't do any of these things. All you can't distract him. And so when he's telling us about his word, he's telling us about his word. He's telling us about his word for our own good, for our own good. He's telling us. He's telling us in his word in the Ten Commandments, he says, establish a relationship with me first. And the Bible tells us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things, everything else that you are looking for, that God has for you, you will have these things. You will have them. You know, whether that's the spouse, whether that's the children, whether that's the success in life, the business, the education, the career, God says, have a relationship with me first. Have a relationship with me first. Because, see, I'm your creator. I know what's best for you. I know what's best for you. I created you. And then, you know what? I love you so much. I created you in my own image. I mean, my gosh. Well, you know what? The parent looks at the child and says, whoa, come, you know, at birth, and says, oh, the mother might say to the father, he has your nose. He has your lips. Or the father may say, he has your eyes, your beautiful eyes. He has, or she has, you know, some features like you, your ears. And so you see the image of yourself, even in your children. And then perhaps if it's not even in the physical attributes, it may be in character, intrinsic in character. So you look and you say, wow. Because the mothers may say, wow, this girl acts just like her father. This boy acts just like his father. Or vice versa. The child acts like the parent. And you say, whoa. And even if the parent is not even around, that spouse that knew, you know, from that relationship, that, whoa, this girl is every bit of her mom, or this boy is every bit of his dad, or this girl is every bit of her dad, for that matter, and the boy every bit of his mom. But there's an image. There's something. God loved us so much, and he loves us so much, that he created us from his own image. When he said, let us, there was a unification there. Let us. Let us. Let there be an agreement. Let there be unification. Let us, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, let us create man in our own image, after our likeness. Boy, that is not love. That is so awesome. I mean, that's beyond awesome. That's beyond comprehension. It is. It's beyond human comprehension. Let us make man in our own image. And then he gave us instructions to go by. He gave us instructions to go by. He didn't just put us here. He told us to establish a relationship with him first, and his first, those commandments. He gave Adam instructions. When Adam was in the Garden of Eden, he put him over everything. He gave him dominion over everything in the garden. That's awesome. That's awesome. And then he made the woman from the man. And then he gave them the instructions on what to do and what not to do. What to do and what not to do. And he shared with them information about the tree of life and the tree of good and evil. He shared with him all of this. And I believe that, you know, by him giving Adam free will, and I'm not saying that this is a bad thing. I think having free will is good, because if God wanted robots, he would have created robots. He would have created robots. And that leads me to believe that the angels, which according to my Bible, are created one step above man, and they have free will. And what makes me believe that is that a third of the angels left heaven. So they had the freedom to choose in which direction they wanted to go. They had the freedom to decide on being influenced. So I tell you, though, that's amazing. That's amazing. But I will share this with you. That God, having given Adam and Eve free will, they chose to go and listen to someone after God had given them their instruction, after God expected them to have this relationship with him, after God, laid it out there, after God had given them the power to have dominion over every creeping thing, over the birds of the air, over animals, everything, God gave them dominion. And then for them to go listen to someone that went contrary, a creature that God had created, all of a sudden now Adam and Eve listened to this creature that had been created by God. That's like, you know, that's microscopic, of being like a child that's only three trying to tell his parent that's in their 20s or older, or even younger for that matter, you know, what they need to be doing. And there's really no comparison. That three-year-old, there's no way can direct or orchestrate the life of the parents at 3 years of age. And so Adam and Eve went contrary to listen to a creature that God had created, like them, and partook of this fruit from the forbidden tree. You know, I just, you wonder, somebody's going to tell you something that your parent, this is like a 9 or 10 year old, the parent now has given them instructions on what to do and what not to do. And now all of a sudden, they go and they listen to, you know, another kid that might be the same age as they are, or a couple of years older, who also has parents that have guided him or her in a similar direction. But you're going to go and listen to that kid about getting into trouble that's going to ultimately bring consequences of some sort. But they go ahead and they listen to him anyway. They do. And find themselves later in that situation. Now, had perhaps Adam and Eve thought this thing through and realized the generations to come, how they were going to mess it up for everybody else, how they were going to mess it up, you know, all of us that came through there, that they were going to mess it up for the whole world, then I believe, with that responsibility on their shoulder, had they just been thinking, you know, using the instructions that God had given them, trusting God, trusting him, as opposed to trusting another creature that God had created, if they had just trusted him, you know, and even with Adam and Eve, even if Adam chose not to follow Eve on this situation of partaking of the fruit that she had gone and taken, then God would have done something different for Adam. You know, but I can understand Adam not having someone that he could relate to. And when he saw Eve to be different from him, and he says, she should be called a woman because she was taken out of man, and now this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. You know, chances are every man is Adam at some point in time. We don't want to say that every woman is Eve, but every man, I mean, chances are, if I had been in Adam's situation, perhaps I would have done the same thing. Perhaps I would have. You know, I'm not criticizing women. I'm not demeaning Adam or Eve. I'm just saying, you know, that was a human factor. But God in his love, you know, he loved them so much that God made provisions for them even after they had disobeyed him. He made provisions for them. And, you know, it was all really, in my view, it was a test of their free will, how they would exercise that. And, of course, you know, you say, well, was that fair? Well, is it fair to not give man free will, freedom of choice? Is that fair? I would think the fairness is in giving man free will, to let him decide. You see, God doesn't pressure or force anyone to serve him. He doesn't. He gives you that free rein to decide, you know, and he blesses people that don't even believe in him. He blesses them. He blesses them with the sunshine, with the vegetation from the land. He blesses them with the rain to bring about more crop and different things, fertilize the earth, to water the planet, with the mist and the sky. I mean, he just blesses us. Even people that are atheists, don't even believe in God, he blesses them. He blesses them anyway. He's their God as well. And you see, knowing that Adam had this freedom of choice, and so did Eve, and they went on out there to do their thing. They went on out there to do their thing. Well, God saw that. God allowed that. He allowed that. I'm certain that he was very disappointed, but in his love for man, he made provisions. And then man began to see changes immediately, because he recognized now that he was naked. He was naked. For the first time, his eyes were really open, and he saw himself for who he really was. He was naked. And then when he heard the voice of God in the garden calling out to him, asking him, say, Adam, Adam, where art thou? Adam, where are you? Adam, where are you? God already knew where he was. God already knew what he had done. But now he wanted, it's a process that God had to let things just run its course. He needed to see Adam with his free will, how Adam was going to respond to him. This certain creature, this certain being that God had created, whom he loved so much that he created in his own image. Now he needed to see this, his work. And Adam answered him. He answered him. And he said, God asked him, say, when Adam responded, he said he was hiding from him. And God said, why were you hiding from me? Why were you hiding from me? And God automatically knew. And then he told Adam something. And it appeared in the form of a question. Have you been to the tree which I forbid you to go to? Did you go to the tree? And then Adam immediately placed blame on the woman. Now, the same woman that you would think that he would have protected. Wow, is there protection against God? Is there? He came clean with God. You know, Adam, he came clean with God. He immediately placed blame. When Adam told God that he was hiding from him, and the minute that he knew that God knew that Adam was hiding from him, he knew what Adam had done. He had already known before Adam did it. Since he saw him do it. But he didn't stop him because he had free will. He didn't need Adam's response for things to fulfill itself because, you know, you got other angels. You got angels watching God and wondering, did Adam have freedom of will, free will? And I believe he did. And so Adam says, I hid because I was naked. Who told you that you were naked? Did you go to that tree, that forbidden tree, that I told you not to go to? And when he placed blame on the woman, God turned to her and he said, what is this that thou hast done? What is it you've done? The woman, Eve is her name. Eve immediately placed blame too. She said, she didn't put the blame back to Adam, but she placed blame that the serpent beguiled me. The serpent tricked me. The serpent tricked me. Tricked me. Tricked me. God was angry at both of them. He was angry at both of them. Because you let a creature that I create give you a half truth on something. And now look at what it's brought. And he gave them instructions on what was going to happen to them, which began the downfall to death. And, you know, so I think about that story, and I call it In the Garden. And as I think about that story, I think about, wow, that's a powerful story. And as I reflect on it, I think about the life you live, or the life I live, or the life we live. And I think, wow, this is heavy. The life you live. Are you living a life? And I'm appealing to those of you all that are listening to me right now. Are you living a life that's part of half truth? Are you living a life that's a lie? Are you living a life that's going contrary to the will of God? Are you living a life that you're influenced by someone more than you're influenced by God? Are you living a life by someone that you put above God so much that you follow them as opposed to following God? Are you living a life that something is controlling you, whether it's your car, whether it's your house, whether it's your money, whether it's your spouse, whether it's your children, that puts these things above God? Are you living that life? Are you living a life whereas God has asked you to create a relationship with him first? Are you living that life? Are you living that life where God has asked you to establish a relationship with your fellow man after you've established one with him? Are you living the life where you are not even speaking to your spouse for days, your husband, your wife, your children, your parents, your siblings, someone that may have you've offended? Are you living a life where you're non-apologetic? Are you living a life that you don't know the art of forgiveness? Are you living a life where God is void in your life? Are you living a life where you're forsaking the assembly of the brethren? Are you living a life of drugs, alcohol? Are you living a life of being a whoremonger? Are you living a life where you're manipulating people, where you're evil? Are you living a life that you're discontent? What kind of life are you living? You know, are you living a life that you can look in the mirror knowing that you've caused someone else harm, some innocent person harm? Are you living a life that you can look and have no remorse, no feelings of guilt? Are you living a life where you spread evil? Because there's already a world where evil exists. Are you living a life that you're lying to people, that you're cheating, that you're doing all manner of deception? If you are, then what makes you any different? And I'm not judging you, but what makes you different from the serpent that beguiled Eve? Huh? And Adam, because I put them both in it together. What makes you any different? And I'm not certainly standing here to say that as a judgmental piece. Because, see, you don't answer to me. You don't answer to me. Because even me, if I'm living that life of any of that, I've got to answer also to a higher power. You see, one day, every one of us will have to give account of the life that we live. And you know what? I want to be able to give a good account. I would love for you to be able to give a good report. I would. That's my prayer for you all tonight. And you know what? If you know someone that can certainly benefit from this, where it's not judgmental, because all I want to do is point you in the direction to walk with Christ. Don't follow my lifestyle, because I'm still trying to get it right myself. But I just want to point you. I just want to point you in that direction to follow the God of creation, the manager of the universe. He's in control. I'm certainly not. I just want to be used as a vessel to point people in that direction and to help you to have an abundant life here on earth and even a greater and better life in the earth made new. This is my prayer for you. This is my blessing for you. I trust that this program has been an inspiration for you this evening. And please, if it has, get on the phone, call somebody else, share the blessing that you've received with them. And in the end, we pray that God gets all the glory. Okay. Join us next week, either on Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, or next Friday from 8 to 8:30 for your half-hour inspirational program. And, of course, I hope that you receive the blessing tonight as much as I did. Until next week, good night, God bless, and thank you, God.